Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm chapter 1, the Bible contrasts the blessed godly man with the ungodly. The first three verses of the six verses of this chapter address and speak of the godly man and the attributes and the life and the disposition of the godly man. And then the last three verses, verses 4 through 6, contrast the godly with the ungodly. Notice verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So three things here that the blessed man, the righteous man does, is he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He walks after the word of God, which he ingests, he devours on a daily basis. You know, saints, we are being bombarded everywhere we go and from every angle and through every communication medium with the counsel of the ungodly. Colossians 2:8, the Apostle Paul warned, he said, beware lest any man spoil or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments or the thinking of the world, and not after Christ. And then he speaks of being complete in him, in Christ. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The same book, chapter 119, verse 105, the book of Psalms, says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. I want to encourage you to memorize that verse, friend. You know, you begin to own a Bible verse and are able to meditate richly on it, as we're going to read about here in a minute concerning meditation. As you begin to, when you memorize that verse, it's going to arm you with the ability to actually mull over. That's what meditate means, to mull over that truth. So blessed is the man that does what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Godly, he deliberately is submitting himself to the Lord, presenting his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and he's being not conformed to this world, but he's being transformed by the renewing of his mind, that he may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So the godly man, the blessed man, how many people want to be blessed? You know, everybody's not blessed. God wants to bless everybody. But you have to meet the conditions. You have to walk with the Lord by faith after being born again in an abiding relationship with Christ on his stated terms. And the only way you're going to know those terms is by reading them from Genesis to Revelation. So the blessed man does not walk. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't do anything to give a bad example of a Christian, to bring reproach to Christ, or anything to cause word or deed a sinner to be directed away from Christ, but rather to be brought closer to him. The word stumbling block appears throughout Scripture, and also of the Pharisees, which were very ungodly. Jesus says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Amen. Those that are saved are ushering men into the kingdom of God and not preventing them from coming to Christ to be saved. So two things so far. Number one, the godly man, the blessed man. You know, if you're out of Bible order, you're out of Bible blessings. And this is some Bible order right here for us, saints. Now, the blessed man walks in the word of God. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the world's ways
and philosophies,
the world's messages, and which are completely in diametrical opposition to the God of the universe, who sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, was buried and raised again from the dead. And those he saved, he's made us new creatures in Christ, and we are his ambassadors. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we say, as the scripture says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, instead of blocking the way into eternal glory, the Spirit
Spirit and the bride, that's us, say, come. We invite others to come. Come unto Jesus. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So in contrast to standing in the way of sinners, shutting up the kingdom so that they don't enter, is to invite them to repent, to acknowledge that they have sinned against God, to repent and to receive Christ. Amen. We're seeing many people come to Christ lately. And if you'll pray and ask God to use you and to teach you his ways, and as you meditate on his word day and night, he is going to use you mightily in this last day, friend. If you'll seek his face, you'll prepare by daily ingesting, devouring his word, meditating upon it, and asking him. You know, ask and you shall receive. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So many times we try to work things out ourselves or think that, you know, we have the ability to somehow get around to doing these things of God. But that's not how it happens in his kingdom. We must depend on him and ask him. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those or them that diligently seek him. I don't know about you, but I want God to reward me. So I must walk by faith. And the apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. And Father, we pray that right now for everyone listening, Lord, that you would increase our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the third thing in verse 1, the godly, the blessed man does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't wrongly condemn others. He doesn't scorn anyone. He's there to, that's an outworking of the iniquitous nature, the fallen man. And we are crucified, that old man, that the new man, the resurrected Christ, stands up and lives in and through us. So we don't sit there and scorn others. That's always something associated with the wicked in Scripture. And the Bible says in James 1:20, that the wrath of man does not worketh not the righteousness of God. Our wrath does not work God's righteousness. Okay, so three things in verse 1, the godly blessed man walks in the word of God. He walketh
not in the counsel of the ungodly.
He does not stand in the way of sinners, but he ushers them into the kingdom, calls them to come and repent and receive Christ. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but rather, verse 2, his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord. Now, friend, are you delighting in the Lord? There's no separating delighting in the Lord and delighting in his word. The scripture says in this book, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Because your desires are going to be his will as you are meditating in his word. You're walking in his counsel, the counsel of his word. You're delighting in the law of the Lord. And his law, in his law, it says, doth he meditate day and night. So the blessed godly man delights in the law of the word of the Lord. And in that word, that law, the godly man meditates day and night. You know, many times lately, a question has come up about meditation. And a lot of the meditation we hear about today is from the occult. You know, they meditate or they empty themselves. All they're doing is, this was a doctrine of devils to get people to empty themselves so those demons could come in. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says we're to meditate on the word of God specifically. Okay, anytime you see meditation in the Bible, it's associated with specifically mulling over and meditating in the word and on the word of God. Don't you just love Joshua 1:8? The scripture says, this book of the law, or the word of God, the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So in order to be prosperous and successful, a real prosperity and a real success, as God defines it both now and forever, is to let the word of God fill your heart and mind and speak it out and meditate on it day and night. Joshua 1 verse 8. May God bless each of us to more greatly delight in the Word of God and to meditate therein day and night. Verse 3, and he, that's the godly blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice the illustration here, a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, contrast the tree that's planted next to a creek or a stream, and so it's constantly fed the nutrients of the waters into its roots, and therefore it grows exponentially healthy, large, tall, and all of the leaves are green. Contrast that with a tree that's planted in the desert. This is a picture we see illustrated in Jeremiah 17, where the tree that's planted away from water is like the man who is not planting his roots down in the Word of God and therefore is not receiving the nutrients. And so the leaves on the tree in the desert, the tree that's not receiving constant therapeutic flow of nutrients, those leaves are going to be that, first of all, that plant's going to be stunted, that tree, and the leaves are going to be dried and brown and crackly and what he calls chaff here in just a minute. Notice that he, the godly man, verse 3, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he's going to be very healthy. And that's how our lives are to look, where we have our roots next to the stream, the river of life. The scripture tells us about that is the throne of God. Remember in the book of Jeremiah 17, which I just mentioned, verse 12, it says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. And notice this glorious high throne from the beginning is depicted in detail in Revelation 22:1. And he showed me, John writes, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, etc. And there shall be no more curse, etc. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, we are to worship God, who sits on his throne, and we are able to approach that throne of grace by the shed blood of Jesus, Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. And as we walk with the Lord, we are drinking from the river of his life that proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And so our lives flourish just like a physical tree on earth that's planted by the rivers of water. It's receiving nutrients on a consistent, constant, perpetual basis. Because remember, the context here is that the godly man does what? Verse 2, delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. If you're going to serve God, it's not a part-time occupation. It's a constant, perpetual. The scripture says, 1 Chronicles 16:11, now seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Amen. God is calling you, my friend, to delight in him, to delight yourself also in the Lord, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. You know, the promises of God are conditional. Conditional, not unconditional, as some would make you think by the way they preach, and they give the promise without the condition. They give half truths. The scripture says, for example, in Jeremiah 29, we always hear quoted verse 11, that I know the thoughts, God says, that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. In other words, God desires to bless us. But then he says, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Wow. Verse 13, Jeremiah 29. Let me read it again. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, the preponderance of scripture, including this one from Genesis to Revelation, reveal that God is not available to the casual seeker. He only rewards those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And then right here, he's telling us, saints, Jeremiah 29:13, you're going to find him. him when and only when you search for him, you shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. Again, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. I want to encourage you to memorize that scripture. Okay, so verse 3, Psalm 1, we're going to come in for a landing and finish this message now. And he shall be like the godly blessed man. Amen. I want to be blessed. What about you? Blessed by God in a real way, not just saying I'm blessed. Anybody can do that. But walking in those blessings according to what we're reading right here, being planted by the rivers of water and an abiding relationship with Christ so that there will be fruit coming forth in our lives. Our leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever we do will prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly, here's the contrast. In contrast with the godly, the blessed, here's the curse of the ungodly, the converse. The ungodly are not so, but are like, what does that mean? Well, let's see what it says in context. The ungodly are not so. In other words, the ungodly walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They're not in the word. So many people claiming to be saved aren't in the word. And when they are, sometimes I'd be bored too. They're reading these new versions. Statistics show that people who read the King James Bible read it much longer and don't get out of it. Whereas when you read these fake mythological storybook corruptions of God's word, the NASV, the NIV, the ESV, Good News, every other laughable corruption under the sun, it doesn't have the divine power in it to keep you in it, to cause you to want more. So the ungodly man is not, it will be not so with him. Verse 4. In other words, he will not walk in the counsel of the godly, but rather in the ungodly, because he's ungodly. If you're not walking in the word, my friend, you are ungodly. If you're not in the word every day, you've already backslidden. And I want to apologize on the behalf of so many of these false shepherds. I'm not one of them. Let it not be, I should say, that never got you in the word. They just wanted you to become a good church member to patronize their church business that they're building. Let me just say it right straight out. If a man is not telling you what Paul told Timothy, Paul charged Timothy. He said, study, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, you get in the word. He didn't say, come to church and I'm going to teach you all. No. He said, you get in the word personally. 2 Timothy 2:15, I want you to memorize that verse. Any man that's not getting you in the word is a fraud, folks. 100% a fraud. He doesn't care about your eternal soul. Paul cared about the souls of those that he oversaw. And that's what we see of a true elder of Christ in Hebrews 13:17. They get you in the word. They preach the word to you, the pure word of God, and they watch for your souls. And any man not getting you in the word does not care for you. They are using you. They're making merchandise of you. With good words and fair speeches, they are deceiving the hearts of the simple. And you know, a lot of these guys, with the way they operate is just like the government operates. They cause people intentionally to be ignorant. They want people ignorant because ignorant people are easy to mislead and to keep misleading and to deceive and lead astray for their own self-serving agenda. Beware, saints. If you're under a pastor right now that's not getting you in the word, he's a devil. And you can tell him I said that, and I hope you do. I remember when I was a young believer, a good pastor that I was becoming close with, a man much my senior, was in my 20s, and he stuck his finger under my chin one day, and he said, you need to get in the word. You understand me, son? Boom. Wow. I love it. Shot through me like a lightning bolt. Amen. Everybody needs godly men around them to charge them like Paul charged Timothy and said, you study to show yourself. Grow up. You don't need somebody to feed you all the time. That doesn't mean elders don't have their place, but that elder needs to put a fork and a spoon in your hand, if you will, and teach you to feed yourself. He can't be with you all the time. You know the saying we have, if you give a man a fish, you'll have to do it every day for the rest of his life. But if you teach him to fish, then he can do it himself for the rest of his life. And that can be duplicated to endless generations. Amen. When you get up in the morning, saints, the only thing you should be doing is praising God, spending a few quality moments in prayer, and studying the Word of God, getting it into you. And, you know, I've been thinking lately about how none of us understand everything in the Bible, but why would that hinder us? I mean, that would be like sitting down eating a great meal. How many people love good food? Amen. Both naturally and mostly biblically, right? Our spiritual food. And say, well, wait a minute, I don't understand how this food's actually nutrifying and nourishing my body. Yeah. Would that cause you to stop eating? No. And that's why it doesn't matter that you don't understand everything in the Bible. When you're reading it, your understanding will grow. It will mature. You will get more understanding as you read the Bible. But ingesting it, it's not always going to feel good. It's got to be a discipline, something that you just do every day. Because you know, when you get up in the morning and before you leave, most of us, I assume, want to nutrify our bodies. And sometimes it tastes better than other times, right? Doesn't matter. You're going to do it. Why? Because you got to fuel your body. You got to nourish your body. You got to give your body something to work on, to run with, like your car needs gas. Well, your spirit needs gas. Your spirit needs nourishment. And the scripture actually talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I just love this verse. How many people know that the word nourished is in the Bible? Okay, here it is. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren, he's telling Timothy, in remembrance of these things, of the truth of God, including that many are going to depart from the faith, which he just said a few verses earlier. Okay, if you remind people of these things, you, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Wow, we got to remind folks of what the scripture says, including in this context, that there are going to be those who fall away in the last days, and we're seeing it all around us, and it's because they're not in the Word of God. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Wow, this is telling you exactly how to be what? Quote, a good minister, a servant of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Praise the Lord. May God bless us to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, sound doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Sound doctrine is something to attain to, and that comes through perpetual study of the Word of God, diligence in the study of the Word of God. You know, a lady yesterday, absolutely a divine appointment, a precious young lady named Amber, and she has a young baby and a boyfriend or a husband, I don't know. She got saved. You can read about it. Just put in the word Amber, like Amber Alert, Amber, A-M-B-E-R, on safeguardyoursoul.com in the search box, and you can listen to that podcast. I believe it'll greatly encourage you. But anyway, right before she left, I encouraged her to be in the Word of God. I gave her a King James Bible. She got that Bible, and I mean, she was holding on to it for all it was worth. And I said, listen, this is your spiritual food. I want you to get in this Word every single day for the rest of your life until you're with Jesus. That's how I decide. One of the ways and one of the things I do in discipling others, after they get it, you know, saved, I make it clear, no uncertain terms, and including overtly scripture on this topic, such as 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. That's how you grow. You ingest the Word of God. That's how you grow spiritually. The Bible says God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So when he saves you, he from that moment on, he wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as you read, learn, and obey the truth, beloved, you're going to be made free. Jesus said there were those who believed on him, John 8:31-32. And he told them, you're once saved, always saved. No, he didn't. He never told anybody that. He told them something much different than these frauds who teach that heretical lie. Notice John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, it's conditional. If always denotes a condition. If you continue. Jesus, it says the Jews, some of these Jews believed on him. Jesus had all the opportunity in the world to say, man, you're free to just go on and live your life any way you like. You're once saved, always saved. You're eternally. Jesus didn't say that. Neither did Paul in Acts 14:22. He said, you got to continue in the Lord. Use the word continue. Jesus said, if you continue. Wow. You see, friends, the Bible teaches initial and final salvation. Jesus said you must abide in him after you get saved. That means to remain and continue in him. And if you don't, you're going to be cast into the fire, and that means hell. John 15, verse 6. If you continue in me, he tells these people that believed on him. Then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. You know, there was this time, a season where I was able to, well, a lot of people got saved, these young men, and I'd look at them and I'd say, once they got saved, they got a lot of ministry before that. They decided when asked to repent and receive Jesus. And I would tell every one of them, don't ever, ever, whatever you do, don't ever get out of the Word of God. We can't impress this. We cannot, this cannot be overemphasized. I have done you no good. You have done people no good that you're ministering to. If you're not getting them in the Word, there comes a time when an infant is taught by its parents. That happened to every one of us. Y'all remember that? No, I'm joking. We were too young to know that, to remember that, but we know it as adults. Some of you, many of you are parents. I'm a parent. And so there comes a time, you know, a certain, I don't know, 10, 9, 10, you ladies would remember, whatever, months old, a year old, whatever. That child starts taking that spoon himself, herself, and starts shoveling that food in. And there's no better time than right now, beloved, no matter how, I don't care if you got saved yesterday, you're getting a head start, because we're sharing today about being in the Word of God. And that's how you're going to be blessed. You can't be blessed and you can't grow in grace without the Word of God. It's your fuel. It's your nourishment. It's everything. It's your heritage. Psalm 119, verse 111. And it'll keep you out of sin, verse 11. It'll direct your paths, verse 105. It'll shine divine light into your darkened heart, verse 130, etc. of Psalm 119. So turn on the floodlight of heaven, beloved, by having a continual, contiguous stream of the Word of God flowing into your heart. You know, I had a brother recently said, man, I'm feeling kind of down. I said, brother, get in the Word. Drink the healing oil, my brother. Drink the healing oil. Every time, that's going to be the answer. Every time when our hearts begin to droop, what we're going to learn is that if we'll get ahead of it, I don't know about you, I don't want a drooping heart. I don't want a minute of a drooping heart. I want that heart full of the joy of the Lord. And it's got to be fueled in order to be full. And you got to fuel that Word. And when you get out ahead of it, you're force feeding that Word every day. And you're making sure your spirit is full of the Word of God as you get up every morning and immediately begin to seek the Lord in prayer and in the Word of God. And you're going to grow in great momentum in the Lord. You're not going to always be fighting from a position of defeat. You're going to war from a position of strength and victory. You're going to have momentum in the Spirit because you're fueling your spirit with the Word of God, just like the five wise virgins did. And that's why they went to heaven. And the other five who were also engaged to the Son of God, the bridegroom, were shut out of the eternal kingdom. And that's exactly what's going on now today among many that have been saved. The love of many is waxing cold. That means they were saved. Otherwise, they couldn't have waxed cold from being hot. And all you got to do is be lukewarm to be spewed out of the mouth of Christ. The ungodly are not so. They don't walk like the godly as it's described in the first three verses of this chapter. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, the dry leaves are crackling. They're not green, flexible, healthy with chlorophyll leaves, but they're dried, cracked. The wind comes along and blows them away. In other words, that's when they fall away. That's the picture. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Why? Because they didn't build their house on the rock of the Word of God, on obedience to the Word of God. Matthew 7 speaks of, especially the last about 15 verses, the man who builds his house on a rock is obeying Jesus, is obeying the Word of God. And that's why, that's the only way to build your house on the rock. Otherwise, it's being built on sinking sand. And that's the picture we see here, that the ungodly are not going to stand in the judgment. Every one of us faces judgment, beloved, and the ungodly aren't going to stand. They're going to be told, depart from me, you cursed, the everlasting fire. Or depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Also, verse 21 there in Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, D-O-E-T-A, doeth, does, is a doer, the will of God, the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Only those who obey God. Your works aren't saving you, not even your obedience, but you must be obedient to the faith, we read in the book of Acts, and also obedient to the faith. What happens is we're saved by grace through faith, and we are his workmanship. There's no such thing as somebody who has saving faith and they don't have the good fruit, the fruit of good works. It actually says right there in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and that we are his workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Okay, so as we close verse 5
of our main text, Psalm chapter 1,
therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation or in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There is so much in this chapter. It's only 6 verses. I want to encourage you to pore over it prayerfully on a regular basis, and perhaps read it together with another believer over coffee this week. I believe that'll be a blessing to you both. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians 3:6, let the word of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to ignite in us, bless us to have a hunger for more of you, the hunger and thirst after
your
righteousness, that we may be filled,
nourished up in the words of eternal life,
as we look for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.